Luke chapter 2. Please pray for me this morning. I'm having some issues in my throat and just, I don't know, I'm with everybody else. I'm just not feeling great this morning, so I'm kind of keeping my distance from everybody. I don't know that I'm sick, but I don't know that I'm not. And so, you know, it's not you, it's me. It's not just because half of you hadn't had a bath this morning, okay? I just want you to know that. It's got nothing to do with it. And so, thing is, whenever you're like me, you know, and you're the top golf grand champion, you kind of feel like you're just above people anyways, you know, you feel like you're kind of a step above. And so when you're the top golf grand champion, and I think everybody knows about that. And so anyways, but do pray for me in all seriousness. I appreciate your prayers this morning, Lord, to help us. And I want to give you some thoughts the Lord's put on our heart and pray to be a blessing, be a help to you in light of the day that we are in. And none of this will be any strange thing to you. It'll all be familiar. And but it's always good to go back and run through these scriptures and run through these things every year. And I know we do it every year, but it blesses me every year, stirs me up every year. And it just doesn't get any better then, as the song said, then turning our eyes on Jesus, just getting our focus on Him and just looking at Him. And so I do hope and pray to be a blessing. Luke chapter 2, if you found your place, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 8. Now, the Lord has been born. It covers His birth in the first 7 verses of this chapter. Verse 7 deals with how she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the end. And you think about all that He left behind in heaven to come and be wrapped in rags and placed in a feeding trough for you and for me. Oh, what a Savior. Amen. And verse number 8 begins dealing with some of the strange, peculiar happenings that start going on, things that start taking place surrounding His birth. And if you look with me in verse number 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds." And that's another thing we can stop and mention too. See, the kings were not interested. They weren't interested. They weren't excited that He was coming. Matter of fact, God didn't even go to them. He didn't announce it to them. He went to the shepherds. Amen. He went to the low society. Amen. He went to the average everyday man. You know, lowly shepherds. And it says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." You know, one of the greatest things you could ever do if you want to hear from God is just be in your place doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's what these men were doing. They were just abiding over their flocks by night. The sun was not shining. The spotlight was not on them. And hardly anybody else was even thinking about these men. But God was thinking about them. God saw them out there. He saw them doing just what they were supposed to be doing. You say, "Well, I want to hear from God. And I want God to direct me. And I want just God to speak to me." Just be in your place doing what you're supposed to be doing and listening. And God will speak to you. Verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace this morning. Thank You, Father, for letting us be in Your house. And thank You, Lord, for Your word. And thank You for these scriptures, these verses You've led our heart to this morning. Lord, how You've stirred our heart. And Father, I pray that You'd help us this morning to look deeply into them. And Lord, to receive from heaven what You would have us to receive. Lord, help us to deliver to Your people what You've given to us in a way that'd be pleasing unto You. Help me, Lord, to say not only what You'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray that you'd give that special touch that makes preaching this morning. Lord, help me to preach. Permit me to preach. Give liberty and unction, we pray. And I pray for that lost soul that may be amongst us this morning, Lord, that they would repent and believe the gospel today, that their faith and their trust would be put in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would believe, and Lord, that they would be saved. And Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved, that our hearts would be stirred to love you more and to serve you more, to be more committed in these last days, or knowing that there's not much time left. Lord, this thing is winding down. And so I pray that you would encourage us and uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look into these verses, I tell you, these verses always stir me up. Even whenever I just go back in my own private devotion and my own private personal reading through the Scriptures, anytime I go through the Gospels and I always get to the first of the Gospels that deal with the birth of Christ, it always just stirs me up every time because it's so exciting. Because of everything that's taken place, because there's been 400 silent years where man has not really seen any open, you know, speaking from God beyond the Scriptures they already had. And yet after 400 years out of nowhere, seemingly out of nowhere from man's perspective, on the scene bursts Jesus Christ, the one who has been prophesied about, the one who they've been waiting for. And no doubt many of them had given up hope. No doubt many people who knew of the prophecies and knew of Christ and knew of the Messiah and the Savior that was to be born and was talked about, no doubt many had given up hope and just, you know, said forget it. But yet there certainly were those who were still clinging on. They had still had their faith, still looking towards that Messiah that was going to come. And on the scene he comes, and out of nowhere, whenever it's a silent night and a holy night, in the sky is a heavenly host singing and announcing the Savior's birth. And it's, again, it's not in the palaces, and it's not to the kings, and it's not to the high society, and it's certainly not in Hollywood, but it's out in the fields where lowly shepherds are guarding their sheep and watching their sheep by night. And that lets me know it's for everybody. Amen. It's for whoever would hear from God can hear from Him. Amen. Isn't that what He said to the seven churches of Asia Minor? That he that hath an ear, let him hear. If you've got an ear to hear, and if you will hear, you will hear. Amen. God will speak. And so it's so exciting, and it stirs my heart. And I know it's something we go through every year, but I'm thankful for it, aren't you? And aren't you thankful for the fact that these verses and these Scriptures and these stories are something that probably all of us have been raised hearing all of our life? Now, familiarity breeds contempt in the flesh, but we ought to think about what a blessing it is that we are so familiar with this. We ought to think about what a blessing it is that most of us can sing most of these hymns by heart, and we can quote most of these Scriptures by heart, that we have heard so many messages on Calvary and on the birth of Christ and all those things, because listen, all around this world this morning, there are those who have never heard. They do not know the name of Jesus. They've never heard this preached. They're not like us. We've heard it hundreds or even thousands of times, raised in the old time way. And I tell you what it ought to be doing. It ought to be breeding contempt in our heart. It ought to be causing us to shout this morning. Amen. We ought to be running the aisles. We ought to be praising the Lord that He's allowed us, as many of you have testified many times, to be born in a place and put in a place where we can hear the Word of God by men of God. Amen. Old time men of God that preach the Word of God and preach it straight and preach it true and preach it right. Regardless of where we were at, they just preach the Bible. Amen. And aren't you thankful for that? Amen. I tell you, these Scriptures always stir me up. And what it always points to in my heart, this is the birth of Christ. And it's what the world will accept of Him, the babe in the manger, meek and lowly, all those things. But what it points toward is the ultimate goal, and that is the gospel message. Amen. I tell you, that manger wasn't meant as much to hold a baby as it was to be a message. passage. Amen. And those swaddling clothes weren't meant to clothe him as much as they were meant to be a sermon. Amen. And his life was not meant to, you know, just do good to man and do good deeds and do good things like much of the modern church is doing now. But his life was here that he might save lost sinners from their sin. Amen. And that's, isn't that what he said? He shall call his name Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm sure glad he came to save me from my sins. Amen. He didn't just come to save people out of poverty. He didn't just come to save people out of, you know, save people out of the down and out state that they're in and heal the sick and give sight to the blind. He didn't come just to do that, though he did all those good things. But he came that men might be saved from their sins. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's all about the gospel message. And the gospel message this angel gave to the shepherds about the birth of Christ was a good message. It was a glad message. Amen. It was a global message. I want to give you these three thoughts this morning and pray that God will help us and stir us this morning. If you'll notice with me, in verse number 10, the angel says to these shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings." Again, first of all, we find that this message is a good message. Do you know that every message from God to humanity is always a good message? When God speaks, it's a good message. That may not be heard by man as a good message. Listen, the messages of judgment and all those things. Listen, man doesn't look at that and say, that's a good message. That's something I want to hear. But listen, even the messages that you and I don't want to hear from God, even the uncomfortable messages, even the messages that step on our toes, so to speak, from God, I tell you what they are a good message. It is God giving a reaching out to man and giving him an opportunity to turn to him. Amen. Listen, you don't find anywhere in the scripture where somebody didn't turn to him for mercy in light of impending judgment. You'll never find somebody that turned to him for mercy that did not find it. Amen. Do you remember Israel in the days of Josiah? Listen, from Josiah's grandfather, he was so wicked that, listen, judgment was sure for Israel. God would not stay his hand of judgment. He promised them judgment will come. I will judge the nation. And yet a young boy at 8 years old by the name of Josiah came to the throne and he walked in the ways of his father David and he served God and he did what was right and he tore down the idols and he dealt with the sodomites and he did all those things. He did what was right in the eyes of God, and God said, I will not stay my hand of judgment, but I will do it in your lifetime. Amen. God's wrath has always been mingled with mercy, and thank God he is a merciful God, and every message from him is always a good message. And the gospel may be an offense to the flesh, and it may be an offense to this world, but thank God it is a good message. Even the offensive messages are good messages from God. Isn't that right? And aren't you thankful that God spoke to you and came to you where you were and told you, showed you the uncomfortable things and told you the uncomfortable things about yourself that you might turn to him and be born again? Amen. I tell you, that's what it's all about. Him coming and laying in that manger and born of a virgin. It's all about the message, the good message that he is bringing. Amen. These words here, there's four words in this phrase that I want you to notice. I bring, and then good tidings. They tell me that these words come from one Greek word, and it's where we get our English words evangelize or evangel or evangelical or evangelistic. In other words, the word evangelize literally means to bring good tidings. To bring good tidings, to bring a good message. You know, that is what we are doing. We are, when we are seeking to evangelize, when we are reaching out, when we are living a good testimony before the world around us, when we're on the job and we live right and we live clean. Listen, we're not doing that so we can, snub our pious nose at somebody else and so that we can be above them and a step above them. We do that we might evangelize them, that they they might see God in you and God in me, that they might see a difference in us, that we might evangelize, amen, bring good tidings, amen. Hey, listen, can't you look at all your friends at school and all those that you work with and the lost world around you and those people that God has entrusted you with to be the light to? Can't you look at their life and say, oh, what they need more than anything is a good old-fashioned dose of Holy Ghost salvation. Amen. Can't you look at the world around you and see the fact that their life is in a mess? Their life is a wreck. I mean, they think things are going all right and they think things are going good. I mean, their bills might be paid and they might have a good house, but I tell you, you look at drama. You look at all the problems and the messed up marriages and the messed up homes and all the difficult circumstances and situations, and the world in America has gotten so far from God that we think that's just the way life is now. People just think, well, this is just the way it is. This is the way every marriage is. This is the way every home is. But oh, brother, aren't you glad you're on this side and you've seen that, it doesn't have to be that way. Amen. You can have a home that glorifies God. You can have a life that glorifies God. You can live clean and you can live holy and you can have something on the inside that the world does not have. Amen. Aren't you glad the gospel's a good message? Amen. I tell you, that's what the world needs. They need a good message. You know what the word gospel means? Good news. That is what the word gospel literally means. It means good news. Now I want you to think about this for a second. Those angels told those shepherds, I bring you good tidings. Something that's good is just something that's good, right? And what is tidings? Well, tidings is news. Tidings are news. Tidings is a message. I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news. Amen. A good message from God. In a sense, you could say that the angels are saying to those shepherds, we're bringing you. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I'm bringing you the gospel. I'm bringing you the good tidings that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Good tidings. They brought news that Christ has come to earth to be the Savior of men's souls. Amen. It's the best message ever to mankind. There has never been a good message. I tell you, you think back to the years and the wars, the peace treaties that have been signed and the wars that have been ended, and boy, that's always good news. That's refreshing news. So the man that's a prisoner of war, the man that's on a foreign battlefield, boy, it's a refreshing news. It's good news to hear that the treaty's been signed and peace has now come and I'm going home and all those things. But friend, no news has ever been as good as this good news. Amen. This is the greatest news that man could ever have. This is the greatest message that's ever come to mankind. That is that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. Thank God for the good news. Amen. I tell you, the message is this, that man is a sinner. He is headed for judgment and a devil's hell. But Christ has come to save sinners. Amen. He said, and it's on the sign out front, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Jesus saves is the message. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's a good message. But then we find that this is a glad message. Isn't it interesting how we talk about how good the message is and how glad the message is? And yet many times when we hear the message from God, it leads us to tears and it puts us on our face. I tell you, it makes us feel so small before God. See, that's the way the message comes. When you hear what God is saying, you see God for who He is, it makes you seem very small. But then you realize that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. And how small you are and how insignificant you and I are and how unworthy we are, He would still come. He would still die. Amen. And I tell you, when you see people in the altar weeping, you see people, we'd say they're weeping their way to God. Amen. I tell you what they're hearing. Amongst those tears and behind those tears, deep down the corridors of their soul, they're hearing a good message. Praise God. And they're hearing a glad message. Amen. And they may get on their face before God. And I tell you, the tears may flow and they may be broken before God, but they'll come up shouting. Amen. Whenever we receive Him and embrace ourselves as who we are, that message becomes a glad message. Amen. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy. You know, the greatest source of joy for humanity is not in a plan, and it's not in anything. It's in a man. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's really no real joy outside of Him. Amen? I tell you, He is the source of joy, the source of fulfillment. He is that well of water springing up unto everlasting life in the soul of man. He is what man is longing for. He is what man is missing. He is the void in man's life. There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of man, and Jesus is the only one that can fill it. Amen. I tell you, He's the only one that can take the drunkard off the bottle. He's the only one that can take the dope head off the dope. Amen. He's the only one that can make a religious hypocrite take them and give them something real. Amen. He's the only one that can take the one who's got a big list of do's and don'ts, and they check the boxes, and that's where they find their spirituality. That's where they find their religion. But deep on the inside, they don't have anything real. Listen, they're just putting on a show. They're just running through the motions. They're just doing what they know to do. They're just putting on the spiritual religious mask. I tell you, Jesus is the one that can take that cold, dead religion, that checkbox religion, and put something real down on the inside of man and give him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. I tell you, serving Jesus is getting gooder and gooder. And sure, there's dark days, and sure, there's valleys, and sure, there's hard times, but I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And I love serving the Lord. Amen. Because He's given me a glad message, hasn't He, you? See, through salvation, He brings to men their greatest joy for time and eternity. Amen. I tell you, the joys of this world and the joys of this life can only give you joy for time. Amen. And it's only a short time. But Jesus will give it to you for time and eternity. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, as he was sitting in an old dingy jail cell, as he was sitting in prison, he said in Philippians chapter 4, therefore I say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. From a jail cell, he said that. Praise God. Listen, I tell you, Jesus will give you joy that nothing else can give you. Praise God. See, the joy we get from Him is not dependent on circumstances. That joy in our heart's still there when you turn the water on and it looks like coffee. Amen. That joy is still there when you ain't got enough water pressure to wash your hair before you come to church. Amen. That joy is still there when you don't know how the bill will get paid. That joy is still there when you don't know what you're going to do or what the answer is. That joy is still there when your child's laying in a hospital sick and there's nothing you can do. That joy is still there in the ups and in the downs, in the dark times and the valleys, saying that somewhere in the shadows you'll always find Jesus. Amen. And even in the darkest times in your life, when the things of this world have passed away and they're not bringing you joy anymore, Jesus will still be there. And that joy will still be there. Amen. See, it's not dependent on circumstances, but the joy that we get from Him is dependent on Him. And He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, so much of our preaching in the modern church, even in modern good churches, I'd still call them good churches, is all geared, and I'm for practical preaching, I'm for practice. We need that, don't we? But I tell you, as I get out to meetings and I go out, and so much of the preaching that you hear, and I'm not saying it's wrong. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wrong. But so much of it is geared towards practice. You know, if you do this, things will get better. If you pray more, you'll be more spiritual. And you read more, you'll be... And I don't doubt that. That is true. Amen? But can I tell you something? I can't promise anybody, and I can't promise myself, that if I do any one thing right, that things will get better. You know, the reality is sometimes the more spiritual you get, the worse things get in your life. The worse the circumstances get. Amen? I mean, the closer to the Lord you get, I mean, the harder things get. Listen, the closer Jesus Himself got to fulfilling the Father's will, the targeted Father's will for His life, the closer He got to that, the smaller the crowd got. Listen, he didn't have an easy death. Yeah, things didn't get easier. I'm telling you, them demonic spirits. Listen, that Satan was hard at work, amen? And he was working in the heart of those Pharisees, and he was filling the heart of man around him to try to, you know, stop Jesus and try to put a kink in that thing. I tell you, the closer he got to the Father's will, the worse things tended to get. Amen? And a lot of times, that's the way it is in our life. And I tell you what we have to do. Because I can't promise you, even though I believe in practical preaching, and I do practical preaching. Listen, Christianity is as much a practice as it is anything else. It's as much a discipline as it is anything else, living for God. But I cannot promise you that if you pray more, you'll always be able to pray through, and you'll always be able to hear from God. You'll always get clear direction, and God will always put things together. You know, it's right to pray, and God will always give you what you need. But I can't promise you He'll always give you what you want. You know, we read stories about some of these great men of prayer and these great men of God down the years, and you read their autobiographies and things like that, and you know, you start kind of comparing that to your own life, and if you're not careful, you can get a little discouraged at that stuff. Because it seems like it's just one victory after another for some of these people. But you know, the reality is that the Christian life just isn't that way. Sometimes we do what we know to do, we do what we know is right. We give something to the Lord that He deals with our heart about. And we think, man, I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm going to go to work, and the sun will be shining, and God will be using me, and I'll be filled with the Spirit. And I mean, it's just, you know, everything's going to be great. And it's anything but that. Seems like everything goes wrong. And I tell you what we have to do. We have to find our fulfillment. Not in the things that we do to please Him, because there's nothing we can do to please Him. We have to find our fulfillment in Him. We have to find our joy and find our peace and find. Listen, all that stuff is found in Him. It's found in us resting in Him, resting in His promises, resting in His person, resting in the Lord. Because the joy we get does not depend on circumstances. It doesn't depend on our life and where it's at. It depends on Him. See, the greatest joy in life, it's not so much what He does for us, though He does do many things for us. If He took everything I've got away to this morning, I'd still have to say God has been good. Amen? But the greatest joy in life is that of having Him and serving Him. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 84? He said, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Jesus told His disciples in Mark 10, He said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and lands and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are the first shall be last, and the last shall be first." See, it doesn't come down to the things that we have. It comes down to having Him. Yet the joy isn't even in what He gives. It's in Him. It was a good message. The gospel that they were bringing, these good tidings, were a glad message. But then, last of all, it's a global message. He said, the angel said, look with me again in verse 10. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Not some people. Not even most people. But all people. It is a global message. You know, the gospel is not limited to a locality. It's not limited to a certain nationality or a certain race or a certain society of people. It's for all mankind on this earth. Don't you remember what John 3:16 said? "For God so loved the world." That's a global love, isn't it? That's the whole world. That is all mankind. We don't believe in a global church, but we believe in a global love. Isn't that right? Amen. His love is for all men. It's for the whole world. Since it's a global love, it is a global gospel. "Therefore, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's not a different gospel for different races. There's not a different gospel for different nations. Amen? That's why we have missionaries come through and they're going some far off place or whatever, wherever they're going. You know what I want to hear? I want to hear their message. Amen? Because that's what I'm supporting. I'm supporting the message. And I know you can't separate the man from the message. I understand that. But listen, I'm supporting the message and I want to know what message they're going to be given. Because the same message that'll work in Amory, Mississippi will work in Zimbabwe. And it'll work in Ireland and Scotland and England. It'll work in Wales. It'll work all over Africa. It'll work in Australia. It'll work everywhere. The same message. Listen, at the end of the day, all men are the same. They're sinners. We're all equally nothing. I'm sorry I didn't bring you, pep talk this morning. But that's the truth of it. We are all equally nothing. Our righteousness is all equally as filthy rags. And yet the gospel came to us. Amen. When I couldn't trace my roots back to Israel, when you can't trace your roots back to Israel, whenever we can't, have any claim to anything, the gospel still came to us. And so the same gospel that works here is the same gospel that works there. There's only one, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is good for anyone that would call upon Him. Anyone who sees their need for Him, that would call upon Him, they will be saved. Wherever you go, this message is applicable to all people. You know, messages like this, as I said at the very beginning, they're so familiar to us. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, the familiarity breeds contempt in our heart. Isn't that right? It breeds contempt. And, we turn to these passages, but, sometimes if we're not careful, we think, just a gospel message. You know, I've heard this. But, all over the city here and all over the surrounding area, I tell you what churches are looking for. Modern churches are looking for one word: relevance. If you don't believe me, just look at their church signs. Look at their promotions. They always talk about how they're so relevant. That's what they want people to know. That's the message they want to get out there. Like, look, come to our church. Come here. Come visit. Come hear the message. Because it is relevant. As if the old time gospel is not relevant. As if the old time way in the King James Bible, the old hymns and the doctrines that we believe, the fundamentals of the faith, are not relevant anymore. And people have got to have something else. They've got to have something different. I tell you, I've sat around tables, more tables with more preachers than I can count in my short time in the ministry, throwing ideas and talking about how we're going to reach this generation. I tell you, I've sat around, and listen, I've even had those same questions. I mean, don't pick me apart here, but listen. I mean, you preach and you preach and you preach, and you understand this. If you've attempted to be a witness in this day, you've attempted to pass out tracts. Listen, you've attempted to see somebody get saved. Listen, you know as well as I do. Man, people are different now. They're different. I mean, it seems like you preach, and there's no results. You start thinking, well, what am I doing? What am I not doing? That's what the church is looking at today. The modern church. And they're more interested in having people than they are in having God. And so what they want people to know is that we are relevant. And they'll do whatever they got to do to be relevant. But can I tell you, there's only one thing that is really relevant to humanity. And that's the old gospel. It's the same old message. That Jesus came and He died. He was born of a virgin, lived a spotless sinless life. He went to Calvary and He died for your sins. And if you would call upon Him, anyone that would call upon Him will be saved. Not from their hard times and not from their bad decisions, but they will be saved from their sin. And that's the most relevant message that humanity could ever hear. And God has not changed His mind. That's what today is all about, isn't it? It's all about the gospel. Amen. It's all about Him coming. And it's not about Him staying in that manger. It's about Him going to the cross. It's about the gospel. And I'm thankful for it, aren't you? I'm thankful that anybody here this morning, even though many of us have been here and been in this church for a long time, if you realize you're lost, you can call on Him from your heart and you can get something real. You can be saved. I'm not talking about spooky, fuzzy feelings, but I'm talking about Him. You can have Him through faith. You can put your faith and your trust in Him as your only hope of salvation and be saved. And those of us that are saved, I'm glad that we can still look back and have our hearts stirred over the goodness of God and the gospel message. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for Your word, for helping us with it this morning. I pray that You will take it and use it. And Lord, I pray that You would stir our hearts. Lord, I pray for the saved and the lost here alike this morning, that You would do a work and You would help us. Thank You, Lord, for coming, dying on the cross for my sins that I might be saved. Lord, I am so unworthy, so wicked. I just thank You for loving me. And I love You because You first loved me. Lord, no good thing have I to bring. No good thing have I to offer. I just thank You for Your love. And I thank You that since the day You saved me, You have been a good Heavenly Father. You've been a good Master. Lord, You've led me all along the way. You've been patient with me and kind with me. And I pray that You'd help me to live for You more and better. Lord, help me, Lord. Lord, even just this next year as we're coming down to the end of the year and the turning point of the year, God, I want to live for You more. I want to do more for You. I want to be better. Lord, not to earn anything from You, but just because You've been so good to me. You're worthy. You're worthy. I pray that You would speak to our hearts. I pray that, Lord, You'd help us all to obey You and do what You'd have us to do this morning as we give the altar call. We'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.